All right, welcome ready to the Building Lifelong Athletes podcast. Thanks so much for stopping by. My name is Jordan Renke, and the goal of this podcast is to help you stay active and healthy through life through actionable evidence-informed education. And thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it. Today, we're going through a video that I kind of saw on the internet. This is from Peter Attia, and I'm kind of react to it. So those who are not familiar, Peter Attia is a social media icon in terms of in the physician and wellness community in terms of he has a huge following, and he's predominantly focused on the longevity space. So he's got a really popular podcast called The Drive with huge reach. And if you've got like 2.5 hours per episode, you could listen to it. It's a little bit longer than mine, but it goes into a deep dive on a lot of different things. But specifically, what we're going to watch today is a little video he put up talking about like biohackers, right? Quote unquote biohackers. And this is a response to it. And I want to show it here and kind of add in my thoughts because I thought it was a really powerful message. And I agree with the majority of his sentiment. As always, though, there's nuance in there. And I kind of want to start getting into the habit of praising and lifting up things that I think are worthwhile, right? I think the biggest thing we see on the internet right now is people saying, like, they find something they disagree with and make an attack video on it and it tries to get them views and clicks and whatnot. And would that be better for me long-term for my viewership? Like, in terms of numbers, maybe, but that's not what I'm trying to cultivate here on my channel. I'm trying to use my platform for good and to elevate the things that I agree with. And if when I do disagree, obviously, you've seen me do things like that. I'll disagree. I try to do it respectfully. But I think it's kind of fun every once in a while to lift things up instead of just having opposing viewpoints, say, hey, I really like this, and kind of go through here, give you my intake on as well, and just kind of have it, just a little tweak on it. So what we'll do here is we'll kind of watch this first clip, and then we'll kind of go from there, we'll figure it out. So let's move over to him. This is him picking up talking about why he gets so angry talking about biohacking.
My wife's feedback to heart, and I started really reflecting, like, why is it that whenever I talk about the subject of biohacking, or whenever it's brought to me as something to comment on, I just sort of, you know, morph into like angry guy. And so I'll tell you why I think that's happening. I think there's an important lesson here. So the case that, you know, the question that was brought to me was the following. You know, we heard about this guy who's, you know, obsessed with, you know, biohacking his way into, you know, immortality. I think he's Australian. I don't even know the details of this guy, but he went to Mexico to do gene therapy using, you know, follistatin and a few other things. And he spent $700,000 to do this. And, you know, we think this is really interesting and we should be, you know, talking about this stuff. And it occurred to me why I find this annoying. It's not about the fact that the guy is wasting $700,000. In fact, in this particular interview, the person even asked me, do you think that these people are frauds? And I said, that's the wrong question. You know, how do you define a fraud?
So just kind of starting there. Initially, I think that's kind of cool, like why he's feeling so angry. I think it's relatable in terms of why he has a disdain for biohackers, meaning, you know, where they're getting there. And I, first though, like and foremost, I also want to say, like, I try not to have this attitude. I think it's easy when you see someone you disagree with on the internet to be like, oh, it makes me angry, right? Like, that's literally what the media is really good at doing, is they're getting you angry. Or, I mean, you look at any really like controversial person, like they do it, they don't care if it's someone agrees with them or disagrees with them, like likes are likes and clicks are clicks and views are views. So people do that to try to get views and clicks. And in this world, like, attention is the most important currency that we have, right? If someone can get your attention, then they can maybe get, you know, other things down the line as well. So I definitely feel myself having that sometimes when I feel that people aren't necessarily representing a view accurately, or they are simplifying things that are very complicated and nuanced. Like, that's the biggest thing, is a lot of times in the biohacker community, it's they take this one little thing and go, you know, to the nth degree with it, saying like, this is it or this is that. And I think it doesn't necessarily reflect things. But I try not to have this attitude in terms of having disdain for this, because number one, it's not helpful, right? It doesn't accomplish anything to be angry. It doesn't accomplish anything to be angry. And I don't think it's helpful. And then two, like, these people are doing this for a reason, like in terms of like the biohacking community. You know, one, it could be coming from a failure of the medical system, right? And that's something we see quite a bit. These people have tried to go through the traditional medical system. It's failed them. And there's a huge issue there. And I talk about it all the time. I talk to patients even every day in terms of, as a sports doctor, where I have people who I know they're in, you know, a lot of pain, and their MRI, ultrasound, everything comes back normal and we can't figure anything out. So I would say there's this kind of chasm. For those who aren't watching on video, kind of hold my hands up in front of each other, saying one side is what we know medically, the other side is the experience, and there's this big gap in between. And that's like where this gray area, I call it, it's the gray. And medicine is gray a lot of the times, where people fall in there, into that gray area where they aren't quote unquote fitting into the box. And so a lot of these people come from those situations where they haven't been able to get the care they want or need and figure, hey, I'm gonna take this in my own hands. So that's number one. Two, these people are just like curious sometimes. They're just like, hey, I'm interested in this. I want to learn. And I think that's cool. And I think another one that I think about a lot is a lot of these people, like, especially like the longevity ones, they fear death. Yeah, and I think it's a big one. And I think we need to talk about that. I see this a lot in the biohacker space, in longevity space, that people are constantly like talking about like living longer, living longer, living longer. And like, when we boil down to it, why is that? Why are people obsessed with living longer? Because, like, quite honestly, once you get up there, and if you're not living a quality life, like, why, I don't know. To me, I think it comes down to the fear of death, right? And the fear of unknown and not being settled in who you are as a person and understanding the cycle of life. And this is why I talk about spiritual health. I think it's important as well to talk about spiritual health, meaning, hey, like understanding where you fit in the scheme of the universe and things and eternity and, you know, what our role here on the planet is. And that's kind of up for debate and people can kind of talk about things. But I think a lot of times that's where it stems from. And I see that with people like, I want to live forever. And they go, I want to buy a hack my way to like, why? Why do you want to do that? You know, especially if you did it and no one else you know or loves like did it, do you really want that? And so I don't want to belittle someone for their interest. If they have genuine interest in this, if they're learning, if they've had issues with the medical system before, I want to give grace. And so this is definitely something I notice. Like I feel that like animosity sometimes, and I don't want to do that. And so I'm going to try to be better at that. And I don't want to belittle someone for having interest. But it can boil my blood when people are taking advantage of other people. That's like the one thing I want to talk, you know, kind of stand up for. But this is one thing he'll kind of talk about here next about like the fraud claim. So let's talk about that.
The fraud, someone who is knowingly charging you $700,000 for something that they think is bunk. I would say let's even posit that the individuals doing this believe that their magical follistatin gene therapy is going to work. Does that make it any less fraudulent? Forget it. Let's just take that off the table. The real reason that I find these things to bother me and why I don't want them to be a part of the discussion of certainly what I do, and but even this term longevity, is I think it does two things. The first is it certainly sends a message that, you know, if you can't afford a $700,000 follistatin gene therapy, you're hosed.
Okay, so he's kind of talking about fraud-wise, like giving the fraud label, and I think it's a good idea to have that, giving people the benefit of the doubt, right? That's why he's saying, hey, let's pretend this you know, fringe therapy does work. So I think it's a good approach. Give people the benefit of the doubt, that's fine. And then I think most people who are doing this and in the space of any health, fitness, longevity, biohacking, most people genuinely believe they're trying to contribute and help. So that's that it is. But there are those who, you know, who don't know what they're doing, and that can be harmless in terms of like their intentions are good, but may lead to issues when they don't know. But like I said, the more nefarious thing is when someone knows that they are wrong or being nefarious and that they're trying to scam people. And that's like the thing, how do we tease that out? And that's like the really big thing is like, how do you find someone that you know? And so there are people though in this space, in this biohacker space, who are very good at marketing, and you know, everything's so unresearched in the biohacker space. You know, it's like a N equals one. Like I tried this experiment and this is what I found. Okay. Cool. Like that's not science. That's just like, you know, a random anecdote, which once again, I understand that's important how it starts, but just understanding these people, when they say I did this and this happened, that may be the complete opposite of what will happen to you if you actually try it. And so, and it's everything so unresearched. There's no research in all these like fringe cases. And so essentially a lot of times in the space, the best marketer ends up being the most popular person in the biohacking space. And that's like the thing that really bothers me is like not necessarily someone who knows like in and out what's going on, who's dealt with this, who works with patients, who has a history and whatever. And it's just like, oh, the people who are really good marketers tend to go to the top. So that's the big thing. And then, so let's pick up where he left off there. He was talking a little bit about, you know, initially why, you know, he wants to think about frauds and avoid them and whatnot.
I mean, we can unpack that for a moment, but let me just tell you, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. If it was $7, I wouldn't do it. Why? Because there is zero evidence that this works. And by the way, even if it does incrementally, for those of you who don't understand what follistatin is a gene that expresses a protein. That protein then goes on to inhibit another protein called myostatin, and myostatin inhibits muscle growth during development. So the theoretical argument is if you do this gene therapy to enhance follistatin, make more follistatin, you would inhibit myostatin, you would have larger muscles. Again, you could certainly construct an experiment that might suggest that that could happen in animals. There's no evidence it's happening in humans, at least no evidence that I've seen. And by the way, even if it did, this is the point, do you really need to spend money to do that? Or do you just need to go to the gym and lift weights? And this gets to really the second point of why I just find these discussions so infuriating, is it distracts from what really matters, right? What really matters is the stuff that you don't need to pay for, okay? You don't need to pay to exercise outside of maybe getting a gym membership. You don't need to pay to be mindful about how you eat. You don't need to pay to go to bed a little bit earlier.
I think that's, I love that. I'm going to stop him right there before we, but I think that's a big thing. It's distracting from what really matters. That's my biggest thing, is the reason I do this podcast, the reason I do these things, like I'm just constantly trying to like bring people back to like the things we actually know that matter, right? And I think this is by far and away the most important point that he makes, is that we need to focus on the things that matter. And I say it time and time again, we need to focus on the big rocks, right? Those big rocks are the things that actually matter. Things like your diet, sleep, exercise, until they're locked in, you're only going to get, you know, marginal improvements by focusing on other things. So if you're in the biohacking community, you're trying to like really optimize this little thing here, this little thing there, tweak this, tweak that, but like you're still eating not well and you're not sleeping well and your exercise isn't there, you're just gonna waste your time. You're gonna spend a huge amount of time for a little bit of improvement. And for me, that's just like not worth it. And so I'm all about that in here. And yeah, that's what I agree with.
incorporate some protocols around sleep hygiene and maybe putting your phone down 2 hours before bed or things like that. I mean, the things that move.
Okay, I do have to mention one thing real quick. I wasn't gonna stop it, but the word protocol, I get triggered by the word protocol. I don't know why. I think everything today has to be a protocol. And I know he means this in the best way, and I totally agree with what he's saying. Like, put your phone down before bed, you know, don't eat huge meals before, and like all the things that are really good sleep hygiene are fantastic. I don't know why the word protocol just drives me nuts. Like, there's other influencers that I won't mention the name of, they're obsessed with optimizing and protocolizing their life, right? Like, this is the protocol for getting up in the morning. This is your optimal morning routine. This is your optimal way to digest. This is your optimal way. This is your protocol to fight the cold and flu. It's like, we have all these things, and it's like, dude, I don't know, man. Maybe I don't have the brain space for it, or I don't want to, but like, not everything in my life is going to be a protocol. And it just triggers me. And clearly I stopped it and I'm triggered. I'll let it slide. And obviously I know the intention behind that is not like to protocolize or produce anxiety. And I'm sure he'd say, if it produces anxiety in your life, stop worrying about that. But that's just a side note, that like the biohacker community is all about protocols. They're like, oh, we need to have this protocol for this. It's like, no, it's not a protocol. Like, you're just live your life, man. Like, don't worry about every single thing being a protocol. So clearly that triggered me. I apologize, but thanks for being there with me to hear me out for my therapy session, but we'll keep going.
Move the needle the most are relatively inexpensive. And that's why I get so bothered by these incremental things that at best move the needle maybe a little bit in a TBD way, at worst could actually be harmful, and clearly are a lot of money. Now you might say, well, come on, Peter, you're just being an extreme, you're reacting to a $700,000 thing. Okay, but I feel the same way about so many of the supplements I constantly am asked about, right? Oh, Peter, should I be taking this supplement and that supplement? And before you know it, you know, a person's spending $500 a month on supplements for which there is no demonstrated efficacy. Now, again, it's a free world. And I know for many of those people, $500 a month doesn't matter. Great. But what it does is it distracts people, right? So I want to be clear. I'm not opposed to people wasting money. I'm really opposed to people wasting mindshare. I'm opposed to the fact that people think that doing these things is somehow a substitute for doing the things that matter. The things.
I love that point right there. You know, the biggest thing is, you see it all the time, supplements. People say, what supplements do I need to take? What do I need to do? And I'm not anti-supplement. I think the right time, it can be appropriate. And but have you ever noticed how many health influencers sell you their supplements? Like, just stop back, take a look, and then they teach on something, you know, eat a holistic way, eat this way, by the way, here are my supplements. And I'm not saying they're all bad, but there's so few that are actually like really, really, really like, hey, this is going to help, be helpful. And a lot of the ones are nebulous, meaning like it may help. And that's the problem. Like, it may help, it may not. But like, I don't know. What I have a problem with is so many people have conflicts of interest, right? Saying, hey, forget the big establishment. Like, you don't need any of that, like anything like this or whatever. And then here, buy my supplement. Like, that's such a conflict of interest when you're saying, hey, you need these things that, hey, I happen to provide. And I understand people need to make money and you make business. And if you're providing content, there's gotta be a way to do that. I get that. I understand the economics of it, but it is a big conflict of interest when you're saying, hey, like, let's try these fringe supplements. And I also, like, it gets me angry a lot of times, the same people who are saying, like, you know, they're ragging on Big Pharma, which, like, hear me out. Big Pharma is awful. There are many awful, awful things about the big pharmaceutical industries. What's going on? But that being said, the people who talk about bad on Big Pharma will never talk about anything. They won't bat an eye on taking $200, $500 a month in supplements. And let's not even talk about the supplement issue, right? How much less regulation there is. There's less purity in the products. And a lot of times it's just making expensive urine for the people who take it. And so it's one of those things where, you know, Big Pharma is the worst, but like Big Supplement, they're here to help you. And it's like, okay, it's so crazy to me. It's just two sides of the same coin. And so supplements are just not the big things that they're not the move, right? You know, can be there and there, but once again, that is not the big rock saying, hey, if I start taking the supplement, like, everything's going to change, unless you have like a very, very specific disorder or condition or, you know, insufficiency or deficiency of something. This is not the average person. You know, if you are like legitimately deficient in something, yes, we should be taking a supplementation. But if you're not, then you're just like doing it for optimization. Then like, are you really doing it for optimization, or are you just doing it because you think it might be helpful? I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep going here with this.
The things that are proven to matter, as much as one can prove anything in biology, and let's be really clear, this is not mathematics where there are formal proofs, but when you start to talk about things in terms of probabilities, the probability that having a high VO2 max, having solid muscle mass, being very strong, spending time outdoors, having connections with people, the probability that those things are going to lengthen your life and improve the quality of your life is so high that it's as close to being 100% as possible. And yet the probability that this litany of you know, questionable supplements and therapies that people are talking about in the biohacking sphere are beneficial is very low. I mean, we're talking somewhere between zero and epsilon, and epsilon's a small number. And so again, a lot of people will say, well, look, I have all the means and the resources to do it, so I'm going to do it. Yes, but again, the more we give air cover to those things, the more we're communicating to other people who might not have the resources, hey, that's where your attention should be. And again,
I think that's the big point here, which I love, is like, an old pastor would say, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And that's what I'd say right now to Peter T on this. I couldn't agree more with that. You know, we need to spend more time doing things we know are beneficial and spend less time on things that may be beneficial. And that's what he's talking about here is, you know, yeah, I don't care, dude. If you are rich, you're Scrooge McDuck rich, and you want to go swim in a, you know, swimming pool of coins and you want to spend your money on these therapies, like, I don't care. That's fine. And hey, I'll be here. If you're a patient or client of mine, then I'll help guide you through that. But like, for me, I just have such a more holistic view in that, like, let's focus on the things that we know are going to be good and kind of go from there. And I don't want us to distract. That's the thing you see. I mean, it's unfortunately, it's like social media, right? You know, it's news. It's what has the main news come? It's like, you need to have urgent breaking news every single day. And it's like, well, if everything's urgent and breaking, like, nothing is breaking. And so you kind of just get desensitized to it, but you need it because you need clicks. And same thing with content. And someone who makes content, I understand that. Like, you're looking for things to make. My content can be repetitive. I understand that in terms of exercise and sleep and diet and all, you know, it's fun to get these new little things that could be, right? Like this cool little trick, this one little biohack, this one little this, like, that's cool. And it's really easily marketable. You just say, hey, you need this, and just scare tactics kind of deal. And really, it becomes a marketing tactic is what it comes down to. You know, you're trying to get eyeballs and clicks and shock value and all these things. When you have these fringe cases, it really becomes a marketing sensation to get people to your page, to your ideas, and then funnel you into you know, their kind of ecosystem. And yeah, obviously you got to play the game a little bit, and I understand that, and I'm part of that. And I try not to play in the game in terms of, like, I never want to do clickbait or anything like that. But yeah, you know, someone's not going to hear your information unless they click on your video. So I get that whole thing, but I don't want us to lose that, right? Meaning, hey, we're going down this minutia here, these small things, and hyper-focusing on one thing when, you know, your other areas aren't really locked in. So that's pretty much it. That's the end of his video there. And maybe I'm just sharing this to make me feel better about myself, and because I like getting confirmation, this is kind of how I think as well. You know, I think there is a time and a place to optimize things, but I argue that it's much less than most people think. I think most people think, like, I need to optimize right away. It's like, optimization is, one, is it worth it? You know, are we, you know, 20-80 principle, like, are we getting, you know, 80% of results from 20% of our work? Like, is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Maybe, that's fine. And I might just be a bit of a minimalist. You know, I don't want to spend my entire day biohacking something. I have a family I want to be with. I'd rather go work out more, learn, make some content for YouTube, or do something productive than try to eke out these small benefits on something. And so obviously, yeah, there's a balance between, you know, what's the next big thing coming, and it'll come there. And being on the cutting edge is kind of got its, you know, risks and benefits, right? You know, the risks are that you're wasting a lot of your time and resources on things that don't work, and the benefits is maybe find something earlier. So that being said, though, this is not an attack on someone who feels like, hey, I fall into the biohacker community. That's fine. If you genuinely love it, keep going. I don't have a problem. But I think you should take a brutally honest assessment of yourself, because if, you know, this stuff causes you more anxiety than anything else, then I think you should stop it. And that's the thing. You have to be, like, ruthlessly brutal about, like, hey, is this actually good for me? Most people think, like, I'm doing something good for me. And I fall in this trap all the time. Like, hey, like, I'm being productive, or I'm doing this. It's like, am I being more productive than spending time with my loved ones, or going outside, or doing, like, you know, is it really truly beneficial, or do I just feel like it's good? And so taking a inventory of that, what's going on, might be helpful for you. So, but not trying to call anybody out, but either way, that's going to be it for today. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. If you made it to the end. You following in either on the podcast or here means the world to me. And if you enjoyed this, you could share this with someone who needs to hear it. I'd appreciate it. You know, I think it might be helpful to kind of get the word out, and hopefully I can be a voice of reason for someone either in who's listening, or someone you know in your life. So if you could share it, that'd be great. And if you want to sign up for my mailing list as well, that'd be awesome. I'll email out things when new things come, but I won't spam you, I promise. But thanks for listening. Now get off your phones, get outside, and we'll see you next time. Disclaimer. This podcast is for entertainment, education, and informational purposes only. The topics discussed should not solely be used to diagnose, treat, or prevent any condition. The information presented here was created with an evidence-based approach, but please keep in mind that science is always changing, and at the time of listening to this, there may be some new data that makes this information incomplete or inaccurate. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or qualified healthcare provider for questions regarding any medical condition.